This is cool. Hey, the first thing I want to do is welcome the 333 new masters from over 30 different countries. Welcome aboard. My intention is to support and encourage you to contribute to an enlightened planetary civilization. And my talk today is about using forces, but I'm going to approach it from a direction that you might not expect. Instead of evolving the concept from resurfacing through Avatar, through the Master's Course, to the advanced courses, I'm going to start at the advanced courses level and work backwards. Now, mental force is a complex subject, and I'm only going to scratch the surface of it, but hopefully I'll give you something that you can use. The advanced courses, wizards, and the professional course, especially the professional course, addresses this subject in more detail. Force starts, changes, or stops motion, including motions and consciousness. And before we go too far, let me differentiate between two domains. The external physical domain and the internal domain of consciousness, mind. Both of these domains contain forces, and in some respects, the forces are similar. The big difference is that in the domain of consciousness, the forces all arise from the same source. So did you ever wonder how all this began? I mean, not just the universe, but consciousness as well. Now, according to the Big Bang theory, the physical universe was created between 10 and 20 billion years ago from a cosmic explosion that hurtled matter in all directions. I guess you could call that the grand entrance. And as usual, I have my own theory on how everything began. And I call it the little push theory. It's not nearly as dramatic as the Big Bang, but it makes a lot more sense. So, imagine an infinite space without motion. A place where time has never existed. There are no moving electrons or photons to impact sensory receptors. There are no signals traveling across neurons to any brain. There are no thoughts arising. Nothing is moving. And what you have is a frozen instant without time. Just complete stillness. And some people would say that without time and motion, you have nothing. And this is true, but this nothing recognizes itself as nothing. If you take away all time and motion, what you have left is awareness. And the ancients called this awareness, before the universe appeared, the Tao. And in Avatar, we call it Source. And it's the life force in all things that are born and the refuge of all things that die, including external and internal universes. Now, I know if I start to talk about a universe, you're going to want to know, where did it come from, right? and saying that it was a big bang is sort of like answering the question, why are we here, with because? So let me just digress for a minute. In 1931, a science fiction writer by the name of E.E. Doc Smith coined the terms presser beam and tractor beam. And now, a presser beam is a beam of energy that pushes things away. And a tractor beam is a beam of energy that pulls things closer. A presser is a push, a tractor is a pull. Push and pull. When you come to Wizards, you'll discover that these concepts are a lot more than science fiction. They are overlooked abilities of awareness. So now we go back to this time before time began. To this infinite space without motion, where absolutely nothing is happening. Ah, but wait. Awareness notices a tiny speck in this infinite space without time or motion. Just a little, whoa. Maybe it's the source of the coming Big Bang. I mean, perspective, right? Size is relative, kind of thing. So what happens? Awareness generates a presser beam, and just for the heck of it, he gives a little speck a push, and the speck moves. Now, because the speck is here, and it used to be there, awareness conceives of time and motion, followed eventually by the primary that you're more familiar with, let there be light, and so on. And so here we are. And the secret that science is avoiding is that before the Big Bang, which everybody noticed, there was a little presser beam that was hardly noticed at all. Go back and look for yourself. Force starts, changes, or stops motion. You can start a motion, stop a motion, or change its direction and speed. And all of this is accomplished by either a push or a pull. Or in mental space, it's accomplished by a presser beam or a tractor beam. Push and pull are the fundamental forces that produce motion. Put your hands together, just so. Now push. Okay, leave your hands together, but stop pushing. Now pull your hands about this far apart. Okay, leave your hands apart and stop pulling. Okay, you've got push, you've got stop pushing, you've got pull, you've got stop pulling. These are the fundamentals. Everything else can be explained in terms of a viewpoint or definition. Contributing to an enlightened planetary civilization means that we stop pushing against each other and we start pulling together. Now, most problems in the external universe come down to pushing against something that is pushing back or pulling against something that is pulling back. And if you've been pushing really hard for a long time, it's not always easy or even prudent to relax. For example, if you're pushing a truck uphill, when I was a kid, almost every comic book had an ad for Charles Atlas Strongman Exercises. Yeah? Don't be a 97-pound weakling. Don't let the beach bully kick sand in your face. Some of you remember, yeah? Well, Charles Atlas Exercises were based on dynamic tension. Let me show you. Push your hands together lightly, and at the same time, pull them apart lightly, using the same amount of force in both directions. Balance the push with the pull. Okay, increase both forces a little, but don't hurt yourself. Does this remind you of anything? Okay, stop pushing and pulling. We love to push and pull things, even when there's no good reason for it. Existence is a dance between push and pull. So it's not surprising that undefinable awareness, the Tao, mother of all things, you, construct mental realities with push and pull. Push and pull in consciousness are often called desire and resistance. But I'm going to stick with pressor beams and tractor beams. Push and pull are fun as long as you don't get them confused. When you do them at the same time and in opposite directions, you create internal dynamic tension. This inside. If you cause two waves of energy of equal force to hit each other from opposite directions, you create what is called a standing or stationary wave. Think of two fire hoses that are both hooked up to the same hydrant, shooting directly at each other. You would get a standing splash, you know, which is pretty much how a standing, stationary wave of energy would appear. Now, internally, if you intended two equal attention beams at each other, you would get a standing attention wave, better known to avatar masters as a persistent mental mass. And just as the source of the two fire hoses is the same hydrant, in your mind, the source of the two attention beams is the same life force. How would you fix an idea in consciousness? You could balance the push-pull attention beams on it. One pressor beam, attention, going out. One tractor beam coming in, and it fixes. So a fixed idea, or fixed memory, or a fixed emotion is the standing wave of attention. And one of the big realizations of avatar students is that they can take personal responsibility for structuring their own minds. In some cases, it requires a little bit of demolition before the building can begin. But that's okay, because avatars have the right tools. Now, realities develop along the edges of colliding forces. That's probably an axiom somewhere. If you want to stay in place, if you want something to stay in place, a reality, like a wall or a roof, you have to balance the forces acting on it. You have to physically push up with a column with at least the same amount of force that gravity is pulling down with the roof. And then when you get it to stay in place, then you can decorate it with a reality. You decorate the standing waves of attention in your mind with life stories. And you can tell the life story that's painted on a standing wave of attention a lot of times before it has any effect on the standing wave. In fact, some people spend their entire life telling and reliving the same life story. So now, knowing the mechanics of how something works and using the mechanics to accomplish something are horses of a different color. It's a lot easier to talk about dropping resistance to an emotion than it is just doing it. Doing something requires a set of practiced abilities and an effective procedure for employing the abilities. And thinking or even talking about an ability is not the same as developing it by practice. Alan Watts used to say, "You can't get wet by chanting water." So deliberately restructuring your mind isn't something that you can imagine your way through, unless, of course, you only want imagined results. And if the results are imagined, in a few weeks you'll be back to telling the same story again. To change a reality, you need to identify the structural push-pull forces that are supporting it. And then you have to change at least one of them. What I'm saying is it takes more than a coat of paint. And this is what engineers do when they implode a building and it all collapses into a pile of rubble. They have changed a reality, which was the building, by changing the push-pull forces that were holding the reality in place. And you could probably diagram the forces in a social relationship in terms of push and pull. I've never tried it, but I think it could be done. What I have seen is a person change their life by giving up a grudge or admitting something. So I assume that forgiveness and confession have an effect on structural forces, as opposed to criticizing and blaming, which never seem to make any real change. Your space never gets bigger by repainting the walls. Pushing and pulling to create a standing wave of memories is how we create an identity. There's always a certain pull force between a creation and its creator. That's probably another axiom someplace. So all memories, since you created them, contain a homing force that pulls them toward your experience field of awareness. Your experience field is where you turn perceptions back into free attention. This is just the as-isness of experience. It is what it is. We experience an event, the event passes, and we are still present, alert, and aware, ready for the next event. And ideally, that's how we should live our lives. But life can present us with moments of horror, moments of pain, moments of painful emotion that we don't want. And unless we're really wise and wizardly, we react to these unwelcome moments becoming memories by pushing them away. The psychologist would call this denial. Denial is the psychological process by which human beings protect themselves from things that threaten them by blocking knowledge of those things from their awareness. You push it away. Now, the problem with pushing this memory away is that it's created from a little bit of you. And that little bit of you is pushing back to join the rest of you. And why do you want to keep that little bit of you away? Because you don't like the story that it's carrying. You've labeled its story with a judgment. So you send out a pressor beam to balance the tractor beam that you already have in the memory, pulling it toward your experience field, and you get a fixed event. Eventually, you're going to have to shrink your experience field because you're running out of push. And if you resist enough, your experience field will completely disappear, and you'll be living in the past, and you'll find it very difficult to transform any perception into free attention. So now you're saving life for later. This is the way we create karma. You have a tractor beam pulling the creation toward experience and ownership, and a pressor beam pushing the creation into denial. And where the two conflict, you get a standing attention wave that you decorate with pictures, and eventually you come to think of it as you. This standing attention wave self is entirely constructed of your push-pull energies. And you're in front of this constructed self, and behind it is something you don't want to see. And that's how identities are created. And it's exhausting to create this identity. And it's a tremendous relief when you finally are willing to see through it. Do you follow this? Yeah. This is where me comes from. You know, you stop creating me, and you will show up. Being something takes effort, but just being is effortless. And if you forget who you really are and you start identifying with me, it's a pretty effective trap. Now, you could explain advanced processing as the relaxing of pressor beams that were holding reactions or unpleasant memories away. And when you relax the push, the pull brings the reaction back into your experience field. And you have the CHP to integrate it. The best way to get over anything is to quit pushing it away. And every time you integrate one of these old standing attention waves, you're going to recover a lot of creative power. You know, how much power you've been using to trap yourself will totally amaze you. I'm sure the integrity students have dismantled several kilowatts of pressure beams this week. Am I right? Wait until you hit the rat list on the pro course. You'll glow so bright that your coach will have to wear sunglasses. So how do you start relaxing the presser beams and begin integrating the 100-mile mental maze of mind that you've created for yourself? One of the simplest of all spiritual practices for doing this is to practice kindness. Isn't that cool? Several years ago, Ivor and I noticed that sometimes after deliberately showing kindness to someone, a presser beam in our own space would relax and we'd suddenly be reminded of some old unpleasantness. We called the phenomena karma points. And for showing kindness, we accumulated enough karma points to relax a presser beam and integrate some painful or embarrassing experience that we had been holding off. Familiar, right? And some of it was just seeing an event in a way that we had resisted. And you know from wizards that in an inability to occupy certain viewpoints fixes an event in time. I also think that when we did something for someone that made us feel good about ourselves, we relaxed a little. And we were both strong enough and confident enough to reintegrate our held-off memories by experiencing them thoroughly, seeing them just as they were from all viewpoints, and not pushing them away again. I mean, we employed a plain vanilla avatar CHP on the resisted memories, and after some grief and a little bit of self-disgust or suffering, we came out shining. We resolved some long-standing issues that we had completely forgotten about, but that were still draining our attention. So rule number one is don't ever pass on an opportunity to show kindness. Most spiritual practices are headed in the direction of transforming a solidly defined individual into undefinable source awareness. The trade is that you give up an ego-centered, push-pull, structured false self, barricading you from bad memories, for an effortless, eternal essence that expresses and experiences itself through all life forms. It's a good deal, really. And if it's not top priority in your life, I predict that the last regret that you will have is that you didn't spend more time on your spiritual development. You know, I think relaxing ought to be an Olympic sport. Yeah. The contestants would all have lazy boy chairs and big feather pillows. QMs and trainers have been training for this sport on airplanes. Ready, on your mark, relax. Some of them are asleep before the plane finishes boarding. Awareness awakens when you stop pushing against yourself. I once had a meditation teacher who every 10 minutes during the meditation gave this instruction. Stay awake and relax. Stay awake and relax. And I realize now that it was good advice, but at the time it was just interrupting my daydream. So, in some form, most spiritual practices are about relaxing these mental pressure beams. In yoga, the exercise is called karma yoga. In Buddhism, the exercise is called tonglen. In Christianity, the exercise is called communion. In Islam, the exercise is surrendering to the will of Allah. And they're all headed in the same direction. Stay awake and relax. I don't have time to describe all the similarities of these spiritual exercises, but I will give you a brief overview of the Tonglen exercise because I just find it to be an absolute mind blower. Tonglen is a deliberate reversal of the way you usually respond to life. Instead of seeking happiness and resisting suffering, you mentally welcome suffering and you give away your happiness. I mean, it sounds crazy and self-sabotaging when you first hear about it, but the results are that it produces greater awareness and compassion. In accepting the suffering of others, you learn to relax your own pressure beams. Sometimes the Tonglen is called exchanging places. You put yourself in the place of someone who is suffering and then create a happy life to exchange with them. And usually it's done in a meditation, and you inhale others' suffering and you exhale your own happiness. And you start by thinking of people that you like, and you say, may all my happiness and good karma points fall on them, and may all their suffering fall on me. And when you become experienced exchanging places with your friends, you start exchanging places with your enemies. The ultimate expression is the Bodhisattva, offering of infinite compassion. May the suffering of all beings fall on me. Now the rat list on the Pro Course is sort of a modern version of Bodhisattva training, and it uses the CHP as a safety net. You take down the walls, throw yourself into the mental abyss of resisted creations, and you come out laughing. Self-awakening is the first contribution that you make to an enlightened planetary civilization. So, until I see you again, stay awake and relax.